भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः. This is the Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter Number 11, and Texts Number 1 and 2. First, I'm going to read the chapter summary, and then we can go on to the verses. This chapter describes the general principles of by following which a human being, and specifically one who is interested in advancing in spiritual life, can become perfect. This chapter is entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. By hearing about the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Yudhishthir became extremely pleased. Now he inquired from Narad Muni about the actual religion of a human being and about special characteristics of Varnashrama Dharma, which marks the highest status of human civilization. When Maharaj Yudhishthira asked Narad Muni about these matters, Narad Muni stopped giving his own statements and quoted statements from Lord Narayana, for he is the supreme authority for giving religious codes. Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Every human being is expected to acquire 30 qualities, such as truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. The process of following the principles of religion is known as Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religious system. The Varnashrama system delineates the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. It also sets forth the system of samskaras. The Garbhadhan samskara, or the ceremony for begetting a child, must be observed by the higher section of people, namely the Dvijas. One who follows the Garbhadhan samskara system is actually twice born. But those who do not, who deviate from the principles of Varnashram Dharma, are called Dvijabandhus. The principal occupations for a Brahmana are worshipping the deity, teaching others how to worship the deity, studying Vedic literature, teaching Vedic literatures, accepting charity from others, and again giving charity to others. A Brahmana should make his livelihood from these six occupational duties. The duty of a Kshatriya is to give protection to the citizens and levy taxes upon them, but he is forbidden to tax the Brahmanas. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement should therefore be exempt from government taxation. Kshatriyas may tax everyone but the Brahmanas. Vaishyas should cultivate the land, produce food grains, and protect the cows, whereas the Shudras, who by quality never become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, should serve the three higher classes and be satisfied. Other means of livelihood are also prescribed for the Brahmanas, and these are four: Shalin, Yayavara, Shila, and Unshana. Each of these occupational duties is successively better. One who is in a lower grade of social life cannot accept the profession of a higher class unless necessary. In times of emergency, all the classes but the Kshatriyas may accept professional duties of others. The means of livelihood known as rutta, shilonshana, amrita, ayachita, mrita, or yachna, pramrita, karshan, and satyanrita, vanarjya, may be accepted by everyone but the kshatriyas. For a brahmana or a kshatriya engaging in the service of the vaishyas or shudras is considered the profession of dogs. Narad Muni also described that the symptom of a brahmana is controlled senses. The symptom of the kshatriya are power and fame. The symptom of a vaishya is service to the brahmanas and kshatriyas. And the symptom of a shudra is service to the three higher classes. The qualification for a woman is to be very faithful and chaste wife. In this way, Narad Muni described the characteristics of higher and lower grades of people and recommended that one follow the principles of his caste or hereditary occupation. One cannot suddenly give up a profession to which he's accustomed, and therefore it is recommended that one gradually be awakened. The symptoms of the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras are very important, and therefore one should be designated only by these symptoms and not by birth. Designation by birth is strictly forbidden by Narad Muni and all great personalities. I'll just read the text number one, and then we can chant text number two together. Shri Shuka Uvacha Shrutvehitam Sadhu Sabhasa Bhajitam Mahatamana Agranya Urukramatmanaha Yudhishthiro Daitya Pateramudan Vitaha Papratchabhuyastanayam Swayam Bhuvaha. That means Shukdev Goswami continued, after hearing about the activities and character of Prahlad Maharaj, which are adored and discussed among personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the most respectful king among exalted personalities, again inquired from the great saint, Narad Muni, in a mood of great pleasure. Please repeat. Shri Yudhishthira Uvacha. Bhagavan Shrotamichami. Nranam dhanamam sanatanam varnashramacharayatam yatpuman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha bhagavan shrotam icchami nranam dhanamam sanatanam Varnashramacharayutam Yat Puman Vindate Param. Shri Yudhishthira Uvacha Bhagavan Shrotam Icchami Nranam Dharamam Sanatanam Varnashramacharayutam Yat Puman Vindate Param. Shri Yudhishthira Uvacha Bhagavan Shrotam Icchami Nranam Dhanamam Sanatanam Varnashramacharayatam Yat Puman Vindate Phalam. Shri Yudhishthira Uvacha Bhagavan Shrotam Icchami Mantramam Sanatanam Varnashramacharayutam Yat Puman Vindate Param. Shri Yudhishthira Uvacha Bhagavan Shrotam Icchami Nranam Dhanamam Sanatanam Varnashramacharyatam Yat puman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Bhagavan shrotam icchami. Vrnam dhramam sanatanam. Varnashramachara yutam. Yat puman vindate param. Ladies. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Bhagavan shrotam icchami. Dranam dhranam sanatanam. Varnashramachara yutam. Yat puman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Bhagavan shrotam icchami. Nirnam dharmam sanatanam. Varnashramachara yutam. Yat puman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Bhagavan shrotam icchami. Nirnam dharmam sanatanam. Varnashramachara yutam. Yat puman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Bhagavan shrotam icchami. Dranam dhanamam sanatanam. Varnashramachara yutam. Yat puman vindate param. Shri Yudhishthira uvacha. Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired, Bhagavan, O my Lord, shrotam, to hear, itchami, I wish, nirnam, of human society, dharmam, the occupational duties, sanatanam, common and eternal for everyone. Varnashrama achara yutam. Based on the principles of the four divisions of society and the four divisions of spiritual advancement. Yet from which Puman, the people in general, vindate, can enjoy very peacefully, param, the supreme knowledge by which one can attain devotional service. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, My dear Lord, I wish to hear from you about the principles of religion by which one can attain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society and the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Varnashram Dharma. Purport. Sanatan Dharma means devotional service. The word sanatana refers to that which is eternal, which does not change but continues in all circumstances. We have several times explained what the eternal occupational duty of the living being is. Indeed, it has been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivar Sharupai Krishner Nityodash. The real occupational duty of the living entity is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if one prefers to deviate from this principle, he remains a servant because that is his eternal position. But one serves Maya, the illusory material energy. The Krishna consciousness movement is, therefore, an attempt to guide human society to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead instead of serving the material world with no real profit. Our actual experience is that every man, animal, bird, and beast, indeed every living entity, is engaged in rendering service. Even though one's body or one's superficial religion may change, every living entity is always engaged in the service of someone. Therefore, the mentality of service is called the eternal occupational duty. This eternal occupational duty can be organized through the institution of Varnashram, in which there are four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Thus, Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired from Narad Muni about the principles of Varnashrama, of Sanatana Dharma, for the benefit of human society. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gdananjana Shilakaya Chakshurin Minitam Yenatasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Mukam karoti vachalam bangum langhayade girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarnam. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the opportunity to say something about the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here in New Dwarka Dham in the association of such august devotees. So here on this, in the beginning few verses of this new chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're changing gears, of course. This now begins a section of five chapters that deal with the topic of eternal religious principles. Sridhar Swami points this out for us here. Atha panchi biradhyayai karma yogona varnyate ekadashi nranam dhanamaha sadharanyena varnataha visheshena cha varnanam mukhya mukhyashti yojitam, which basically means that in five chapters he's going to describe karma yoga. In the 11th chapter, he talks about the dharma, ordinary dharma of mankind, and particularly he elaborates the chief and minor births that are available among those who are born in high or low families, all the various varnas that they may engage in. After having heard the qualifications of Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much pleased. Jiva Goswami says, Hata sendehatvan mudayotaha. It's described here that he was jubilant, and the reason that he was jubilant is all of his doubts had been described. If we recall, this passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam goes way back to the beginning at the time that Yudhishthira Maharaj had concluded the Rajasuya ceremony and Shishupal was killed. Yudhishthira Maharaj was astonished because he personally saw that Shishupal, the soul of Shishupal, left his body and entered into Lord Krishna. So he was astonished that this person has been blaspheming Lord Krishna from the very beginning of his life. How in the world could he possibly be liberated like this? And so he asked Narad Muni about that. And Narad Muni told him the whole story of Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jaya Vijaya, of course, it goes back to Vaikuntha, Lord Narasingadev, all these things are described in the 7th canto. Having concluded that section, and having heard about the wonderful characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj most recently, Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that Prahlad Maharaj is actually born as a demon. Technically speaking, he's one of the demons. How could he have such exalted character? Therefore, with his doubts about the disappearance of Shishupal dispelled, and being very enlivened by hearing this thing, now he wanted to know about his own dharma. And because he was the king, there were all opposition was quashed now, the Rajasuya had been finished. Ateva Rajyanukula Swayarda Dharma Katham Akarod Ityaha Paprachedi. Jiva Goswami says, he's therefore asking this question. Sridhar Swami says that what is the reason that he wants to know about Sanatana Dharma? Why would he just suddenly change the subject and talk about Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma? He says, Shravane chayam hetuhu yad yato dharmat anushtitat param jnanam bhaktim cha vindate. That's implicit here in the verse, and Sridhar Swami elaborates that the reason he wanted to hear about this is because this is the means, this dharma is the means by which, being situated in this dharma, one is able to get knowledge and then the fruit of knowledge, which is bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also said some of the same things. There are different kinds of dharma. There are dharmas that are for the varnas, there are dharmas for the ashramas, there is what we call sadhana dharma, and Prabhupada has already indicated those. They'll be maybe discussed later on in this chapter as well. Every human being should do certain things and not do certain things. This is sadhana dharma, ordinary dharma. Then there's apadharma, there's dharma that kicks in when there's an emergency and the social order is out of order, or the king is out of order, or something is out of order, and therefore this apadharma is operative then. The understanding of dharma is very subtle, and in the sixth canto we heard that even the demigods, even the great sages and great souls are unable to really actually understand the real truth of dharma. That's why at this point Narad Muni begins to quote so many other authorities. In particular, he's quoting Narayana. No one can actually give any judgment on dharma except for Narayana. Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. So whatever the kind of dharma it is, all of it actually has one characteristic in common, and that is service, which is what Prabhupada is emphasizing in his purport today. So we know that there are different kinds of dharma, there are different definitions of dharma. Here Srila Prabhupada has described it as occupational duties, but our occupational duties are not eternal, so how can they be described as sanatana? Who knows? Now we may be in a woman's body, or in a vaishya's, or a kshatriya's, or a brahmana's body, and so that dharma we have to do, how is it eternal? It's a function. It's an eternal function of the actual jiva dharma of the soul, which is to be a servant of Krishna. When we become conditioned by Mahamaya instead of Yogamaya, because we're all conditioned, you're not ever going to not be conditioned. But when we choose to become conditioned by Mahamaya instead, then our eternal consciousness is curdled in something in the same way that when Vishnu contacts Maya directly, he's no longer Vishnu. He becomes curdled. He turns into Shiva. So in similar way, when we choose to embrace Mahamaya, then our eternal constitutional function as an eternal servant of Krishna, it becomes perverted. And according to the mode in which we've chosen to embrace Mahamaya, we get a corresponding dharma, which we have to fulfill. If we don't, we incur sinful reactions. If we do, we're elevated to the platform of knowledge, by which we can recognize that actually I don't have anything to do with these things. And Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate, Krishna says, when a person is firmly fixed in knowledge in that way, then he can actually come to the stage of bhakti. That's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in 18th chapter. Mad bhaktim lahate param. Those of you who know the verse understand the principle. On the liberated platform, bhakti is actually enacted, real bhakti. Before then, we can enact probate bhakti under the sponsorship of a bona fide devotee, the spiritual master. That's called sadhana bhakti. And in much the same way, we can gradually turn our varnashram dharma or our sadhana dharma or whatever dharma in this world that we need to fulfill, we can gradually turn that into bhakti under the guidance of a pure devotee, only under the guidance of a pure devotee, because no one but Krishna can understand dharma. So this is the idea. Saguna bhakti vasanaya karanam nishkama karma yogam panchaviradhyayai vaktum arabhate shrutveti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in these five chapters now, beginning with this verse, we're going to talk about the means by which one attains bhakti, which is nishkama karma yoga. It's very interesting because if we read Bhagavad Gita very carefully, we can see that these are the same things that Krishna also elaborates in the very beginning of bhakti, of the Bhagavad Gita. The first thing he tells Arjuna, more or less, is he reminds him of the gyan, you are not your body. And when Arjuna is confused by the fact that if I'm not my body, why do I need to fight? Then Krishna goes through a few chapters, five chapters in the beginning of the Gita, he's talking about karma yoga, leading to dhyana yoga or gyan, and then ultimately concluding in pure bhakti. So it would seem that there's a conflict between ordinary dharma, which is essentially mundane, and temporary. Even though, because it's a function of the eternal Jiva Dharma, we also consider it to be Sanatana Dharma and religion. It seems that there's a conflict, but actually there is no conflict. Now, the identity of these two is something that's not conceivable. But there's a very nice description given in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamritam, which can help us to conceptualize this. This was translated by Gopi Paranatana Prabhu way back in the mid-1970s and published in Back to Godhead magazine in 1976. There, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, among the chief ornaments of a God-conscious way of life are material science, culture, and ethics. And when, along with these features, religious morality matures into devotional service, all one's desires are satisfied. Here he's paraphrasing a verse from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he says religious morality matures into devotional service or devotional life, he means that this process of karma yoga executed under the guidance of a bona fide guru will eventually morph into pure bhakti. When by the purification of the heart that naturally transpires. Therefore, it's important that we do that, because unless we carry out this process of nishkama karma, the heart does not become purified and we misinterpret what we hear, or we fail to understand what we hear. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written extensively on this point, that one can memorize the instructions that he's received from a pure devotee in a parrot-like fashion, but if the heart remains infected, then it won't actually do any good for himself or to others. So the heart has to become purified through chanting the holy name, and in order to effect greater chanting, in order to chant offenselessly, we have to have sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan means, what does sambandha mean? Sambandha. Who knows? Huh? Connection or relationship. Sambandha gyan means to be aware of relations, all relations. Relationships between inanimate objects, relationships between living beings, relationships ultimately between the jivatma and the paramatma, the supreme soul. But relations in general must be understood. Until relationships are understood, we will not be able to transcend our offensive natures, and we will not be able to purely chant the holy name, and therefore the Varnashram system is recommended. Now he says, when he says that all one's desires are satisfied when religious morality matures into devotional life, he's actually paraphrasing the seventh canto, which says, yenatma suprasidati, the very exact same words that are used in reference in the first canto, to pure devotional service, because the two are considered non-different. This is the point. Let me read on, and hopefully this will be a little clear. The activities of the jiva, or the living entity, are known as jiva dharma. Our activities are called jiva dharma. Our activities being service, as we've heard from Prabhupada already. On the human level, as human dharma, there are two aspects, gona and mukhya. which are concerned with purely conditioned and purely spiritual activities, respectively. So gona means conditional activities, mukhya means pure activities, purely spiritual activities. Gona, or conditional dharma, deals with the world of matter, its material modes, and the conditioned living entity's relationship with them. Mukhya, or spiritual dharma, has as its subject the pure spirit soul, and is therefore the actual jiva dharma. Gona dharma is in fact nothing more than mukhya dharma, affected by material nature and transformed according to the modes of matter, goodness, passion, and ignorance, as I mentioned earlier. According to the way that we choose to embrace maya, in that way we are given a corresponding dharma, which can purify the mind and the body. As the living entity's activities rise above these three modes and again become fully spiritual, gona dharma changes into mukhya dharma. In other words, gona dharma is the soul's natural propensities, covered and perverted by material designations. Let me read that again. In other words, gona dharma is the soul's natural propensities, covered and perverted by material designations. When all false designations are eliminated from gona dharma, it becomes mukhya dharma. Gona dharma includes both the conditioned activities prescribed by the regulations of gona vidhi, that is to say the shastra injunctions, and those forbidden by its restrictions, or in other words, both pious and sinful activities. In other words, in the Vedas, which give instruction, what to do, what not to do, not instruction in terms of edification, instruction in terms of command. They're divided into two. They're called vidhi, which means a positive injunction, and nishedha, a negative prohibition. Always we have these two. This is a mode of logic which is called anvaya vyatireki. Pervasion at both levels, positively, and you cover all bases, positively, negatively. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us, as the vidhi, you chant your 16 rounds offenselessly. And as the nishedha, he said, you avoid these four sinful activities: illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. And we hear from the Puranas as well that sarva vidhi nishedhasyur etayoreva kinkara smartavyam satatam vishnur vismartavyam najatuchit. In this way, you should always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Indeed, all the injunctions and prohibitions that you find anywhere in the Shastra are ultimately serving these two principles. Do not forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna. That's what brings Varnashram to its real fruition, or any dharma for that matter, worldly dharma, gona dharma, is brought to its fruition when you add Krishna. If you don't ultimately direct this process towards Krishna, if it's not explicitly dedicated to Krishna, it very quickly becomes contaminated and useless for all spiritual purposes, and even for material purposes, because it becomes simply a system of exploitation. In 1947, when the Republic of India gained independence, they framed their constitution, and they very quickly outlawed the so-called caste system. However, those who live in India, or those who are Indians, know very well that the caste system is alive and well and still kicking. The problem is that it's only morphed from a socio-religious system that we find in the Shastra into a political and economic system that we see in the society, operating in the society. The same people are still in charge, but because they don't have Krishna, they're using their superior position to exploit inferior position. Even today, it's quite healthy condition, this caste system. So, therefore, we can benefit from understanding what are these instructions, what do they mean? Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues here. He says, a person should not artificially renounce his conditioned activities. Rather, in the advanced stage of his liberation from the material modes, these activities will automatically be transformed back into spiritual activities. Sometimes when we come to devotional service, we think that dharma is not for us. We think that it's just for the karmis, or it's just for people who are not transcendental, and that we're all transcendental because we're engaged in devotional service. That's true if we do nothing but devotional service, as Krishna has described in Chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. But to the degree that we have any admixture of mundane interest, to that degree, the vidhis and the nishedhas of dharma, in all of its variety, they do apply to us. And if we do not observe them, we become sinful. And Krishna tells us in Chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita that when a person is not fixed in piety and has therefore not become freed from the sinful reactions produced of ignorant activities, then that person is not able to sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service. And we've seen that. Therefore, Krishna also affirms that most people who attempt devotional service, they do not succeed, because they don't actually give up these mundane activities. It's very difficult. It takes some time. Even to understand dharma takes time. But when we follow very carefully the injunctions of the shastra as given by the spiritual master, then automatically our conditional activities will be transformed back into spiritual activities. Gona dharma comes about when the conditioned soul allows his spiritual activities to become perverted. We allow it to happen. It's our choice. It's not something automatic or accidental. These material activities can again become spiritualized if reconverted by the proper means, and that we've discussed. Therefore, in future chapters, this is his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, we shall first discuss the rules and restrictions of Gona Vidhi, then those of Mukhya Vidhi, and finally the perfection of Jaiva Dharma, devotional service in ecstatic love of Godhead. That's from part two of the what's translated as the Nectarian Teachings of Sri Chaitanya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's in the Back to Godhead, number 11, volumes 3 and 4 from the year 1976. It's a very valuable reference. And it helps us to understand some of the things that Srila Prabhupada says about Varnashram Dharma. Now, before we go on to some quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Prabhupada, it's nice to point out that in the Vishnu Purana also, many places throughout the Shastras, we find this topic of Varnashram is being discussed. And particularly in the Vishnu Purana, Maharaj Sagar, a great king in the lineage of Ramchandra, if I'm not mistaken, he inquires from Arava Muni, what is the means by which I as the king can bring my citizens to Krishna consciousness? What is the means by which ordinary people can come to pure love of Godhead? This is a concern which is not at all different from our own concern. And it's a concern which is recognizably very similar to what Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Narad Muni here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can listen very carefully. Actually, that description also, the answer which was given to Sagar Maharaj by Arava Muni, it extends over about five chapters as well, just as it does here. Notably, one of the salient verses that is very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, from that discussion between Arava Muni and Sagar Maharaj, is this one. Varnashrama charvata purushena parapuman vishnur aradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam. This is Vishnu Purana, Book 3, Chapter 8. It goes from Chapter 8 through Chapter 12, the whole narrative. So what that means is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashramas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Vishnu Purana 3.8.9. As stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and as Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, the purport is that one can realize life's perfection simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Ataha pumbhir duja shreshta varnashrama vibhagashah swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his abilities, one should accept a position in the Varnashram institution. The divisions of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra are natural divisions within society. Indeed, everyone has a prescribed duty according to the Varnashram Dharma. Those who properly execute their prescribed duties live peacefully and are not disturbed by material conditions. The spiritual orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are called ashramas. If one executes his prescribed duty in both the social and spiritual orders, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. If one neglects his duties, however, he becomes a transgressor and a candidate for a hellish condition. Actually, we see that different people are engaged in different ways. Therefore, there must be divisions according to work. To attain perfection, one must take devotional service as the center of life. In this way, one can awaken his natural instincts by work, association, and education. Work, association, education. Those are very prominent aspects of our lives. One should accept the Varnashram divisions by qualification, not by birth. Unless this system is introduced, human activities cannot be systematically executed. The Brahmanas are the intellectuals who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. It does not matter whether one is born in India or outside India. Those who are naturally very heroic and who tend to rule over others are called Kshatriyas. Those who tend to produce food by agricultural methods, protect cows and other animals, and engage in trade are called Vaishyas or merchants. Those who are not sufficiently intelligent to be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas are required to serve a master and are called Shudras. Thus, everyone can engage in the service of the Lord and awaken his natural Krishna consciousness. If a society does not function according to such natural divisions, the social orders become degraded. The conclusion is that the scientific method of Varnashram Dharma should be adopted by society. That's just one of many quotes that Srila Prabhupada has given about this topic, and it explains a little bit in more detail. Now, it's an interesting aside here that in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, I think it's text number 31, Srila Baladevi Dabhushan has commented there that even if a person cannot correctly fulfill the obligations of the Varnashram system for whatever reason, still he becomes freed from the reactions of sinful life as long as he doesn't resent the principle. Because sometimes we find that people do resent the principle. And I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport about that because he paraphrases. This is the verse in which Krishna tells Arjuna that those who follow my eternal teaching and are situated in it as human beings, that is to say, followers of Manu. Manava is the word used. Manava means human being, humanity being defined as adherence to Dharma. Humanity is not defined in a biological way in the Shastra. It's defined as adherence to Dharma. So Krishna says, Ye me matamadam nityam anuchishtanti manava. Those who are situated nicely in this manava status, and follow my eternal teachings, shraddhavanto anasuyanto, who are full of faith and who do not envy this, mucyante tepi karmafihi, they also become freed from karmic reactions. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. Prabhupada writes here, the injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true, without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. We know from Bhagavad Gita as well, back in chapter 2, Krishna tells Arjuna there also that Yogastha Guru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhya Siddhyo Samobhutva Samatvam Yoga Ujjate. That means that when one is situated in yoga and performs his work without attachment to the results, O Dhananjaya, and without any, and is the same or equal, without consideration of whether there is success or failure, that evenness of mind is called yoga. So this is the beginning of what Krishna's, in Bhagavad Gita at least, he's starting to talk about his instructions on Varnashram. But it's interesting here, just to point out that Baladev Vidyabhushan feels there, he makes it very clear in his commentary that a person should not envy the system of Varnashram and should neither consider it beneath him, nor should he consider it to be something that's negligible, just because he's on the path of transcendentalism, unless one is actually, well, as Krishna says later on in chapter 3, yes tvatma rati deva syat, unless one's only rati, his only pleasure, is taken from the atma platform, from the spiritual platform, one actually has to engage in these system of varnashram and dharma. And in particular, those who are administrators, they have the responsibility to encourage this in among their prajas, their citizens, those in their charge. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj, of all people, is asking Narad Muni, please explain to me about Varnashram Dharma. Implicitly, he's appreciating the fact that even a demon like Prahlad can become elevated. So I should also put attention into this. Now, why would Yudhishthira Maharaj, why is it ironic that Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking this question? Who is Yudhishthira Maharaj? He's the son of Dharma himself. The son of Dharma is inquiring from Narad Muni, what is Dharma? It's an interesting aside there. Anyway, these are a few things we can say about this verse. If anybody has any questions or comments, we can deal with them. In the back, first one, blue sweater. I think there's a microphone, so just hold on a minute.
Thank you, Prabhuji. There is in a commentary, Prabhupada said that never Shudra never become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishya. Yeah. So at the same time, Prabhupada tried to make us from from our level to, how it's possible to...
We're very low-born. That's a very interesting question, because the topic of low-born castes, as I understand your question, that Prabhupada has stated, not actually in his purport, but in the chapter summary, that a low-born person can never take the position of a higher-class person. And so then how do we explain the fact that Srila Prabhupada has taken basically so many low-born persons like myself and has given them Brahminical initiation and is trying to elevate them, etc.? One thing is that the caste duties of life are, although they're fixed for all time, these are the mundane, we're talking about normative dharma. Really, to answer this question, we have to make some distinctions between different aspects of dharma, which are inconceivably one and the same thing. So we have normative dharma. That means dharma which gives you injunctions and prohibitions, laws, basically. Even nowadays in India, dharma is considered to be the legal profession. That's called dharma. And so, legislation or the legal profession, you might say, is concerned with dharma. But that's only one aspect of dharma. Dharma has a scientific aspect as well. And that scientific aspect deals with the intrinsic property of a thing. It's the philosophical or metaphysical approach to understanding or appreciating dharma. The intrinsic property of a thing is inalienable. You cannot take it away. And Srila Prabhupada has told us here that ultimately the intrinsic property of the living being is service. And in particular, service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's mukhya dharma, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's the eternal constitutional position of the living being. As long as we identify as something other than a servant of Krishna, then the injunctions and the prohibitions that are appropriate for whatever it is that we're misidentifying with, those become operative. And therefore, we have to observe those injunctions. So in other words, if you think that you're a woman, that you have to abide by those vidhis and nishedhas. However, even there's a universalist sort of interpretation that Srila Prabhupada is making here, which is that in all societies, it's not just Indians, but in all societies we find that there are people who have a tendency for business. Practically speaking, nobody protects cows and nobody farms anymore. They do this artificially, and you know, there's a very few people, but everyone is interested in business. That's really the mindset, that's the ethos of our zeitgeist, we might say. And it's particularly prominent in America. These people are called Vaishyas, people who are capitalists. And those who want to lead and who want to organize and who are very courageous, brave, etc., they're Kshatriyas. It doesn't matter where they are. Those who are intellectual, those who tend towards virtue, those who are concerned with God and godly things, or even intellectual things, they're called Brahmanas no matter where they are. So they may be low-born, but as Prabhupada said, it's really just a matter of whether those things are perverted. As he said, the social system becomes degraded. That's the bad effect of deviating from dharma as the Shastras define it. In other words, we follow our natures, but yajantya vidhi purvakam. We do so in a way that's really not authorized by Shastra. That's what determines whether someone is low-born or not. Is that clear? It's a difficult topic. I don't know if I'm clarifying it.
Difficult topic.
Yeah, it is.
Second question, can I just short? What about women who engage in devotional service, but they're like single women? Which ashram belong to them or varna?
I can't hear what you're saying, sorry.
I mean, women who engage in devotional service, they're not married, like single woman.
Yeah.
So which ashram belong to them or varna?
According to the Shastras, and Prabhupada also emphasizes, the women have to be married, because they cannot do their dharma unless they're married.
But we're talking about not married. Like if it's a single woman.
Yeah, they have to be married.
60 years old or 100 years old.
No, she depends on her sons.
No sons.
Yeah, that's therefore Prabhupada says this is the nature of Kali Yuga. Everything
so
is degraded.
Then what is her duty if she belongs to ashram or varnam?
Her duty is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and pray for whatever is necessary.
Yes,
because
she does.
Krishna will supply it.
Yes, she does, but still we're talking about varnashrama. That means she doesn't belong to varnashrama just by chanting, right?
There are subtleties here, and these are the kinds of subtleties that are best interpreted by one spiritual master. We find that there's a lot, for every rule there's an exception. You know, it's not a fanatical or you know, hard and fast system that's inalienable or inalterable, even though it is eternal. And even though it is very strict, but the principle is smartavyam satatam vishnur vismartavyam najatuchit. A pure devotee, therefore, can understand how dharma applies in a particular time, place, and circumstance, because he's realized. He knows what is required to remember Krishna. We don't know that. Well, I can't remember Krishna unless I'm getting all my senses gratified. That's our attitude. But a spiritual master can do that, and therefore it says, Mahajana yena gatasapanta. Whatever the spiritual master orders, that's what one has to do.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm asking because a couple of days I talked with one devotee. He said it's your duty to support brahmachari and sannyasi because you're grihastha. I said, I'm not grihastha because I'm not married. And we just argue. That's why I'm asking you who is right.
Actually, we find that many of the arguments that go on amongst devotees are actually arguments about dharma, but they don't even know it yet. You had a question?
Think.
Okay. So anything else? If not, then we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.